You know, you would be surprised. I don't know if you've ever done a lyrics search. There is a huge number of songs about procrastination.
Probably short stories, novels, short story, poems. I bet, yeah.
Absolutely. Apology letters. To the florists of the world, yeah, are probably funded by procrastinators. All those mini sayings we were talking about earlier, why put off until tomorrow what you can postpone until the day after.
Why not?
Yeah, and we asked our listeners how to deal with procrastination. They actually had a lot to say.
This is Lou Lord calling from Atlanta, Georgia, calling in regard to your question about procrastination. I'll answer you tomorrow.
Okay, Lou from Comedy Central.
Lou.
We love
him. All right. But here's the thing. Everybody knows what it's like to procrastinate. I mean, I can't imagine there's a whole lot of people who've never procrastinated.
I'm very organized, in fact. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. But how deeply have we really thought about procrastination? I mean, why do we procrastinate? When we know that the outcome is usually bad, why do we do it?
It is a silly thing to do.
It is a silly thing to do. And luckily, some very smart people have thought about it, and we have them with us. Krisula Andreu and Mark White are co-editors of a new book called The Thief of Time, Philosophical Essays on Procrastination. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, it's probably a cheap joke, but you guys did make your deadline for getting this book to the presses, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that everyone said when we started this that you'll never finish on time.
Right.
So, but we did.
Especially since you're a collection of essays, where you're cracking the whip on all these different writers.
It seems to have worked all right, though.
Well done.
Well, you know, I was interested in your introduction to the book. You talk about the difference between true procrastination and just delaying things. And you said the difference is whether it's illogical or not. In other words, delaying things for logical reasons, putting them off because there's a good reason for it, that's one thing. But procrastination is when it's illogical, right?
Yeah, irrational. Yeah, that's what we say. And the idea is that, again, if you're just putting something off, there might be a very good reason for putting it off. It might actually be more beneficial for you to put it off until later. Whereas when we think about procrastination, we think about behavior that's really defeating your own goals. And that's typically associated with feelings of failure, frustration, regret, and also, for looking for coping devices to reduce procrastination. So that is, usually you're looking for those types of things and having those types of feelings when you feel like your delaying is not well enough grounded. If you think that you have a good reason to delay, that's not really procrastination.
Okay, so if true procrastination is illogical, it's irrational, it's going to hurt us in the end, you came up with this question of, if that is true, why do we still do it? And not just do it once, but over and over and over again. Did you get an answer when you collected all these essays together? Did you get an answer to that question?
Well, we got a few answers. there's many reasons. So one of them is with respect to large, long-term goals, which are often achieved via, lots of little steps. It's easy to feel like you're making very little progress, which makes it tempting to wander off course. So think, for example, of exercising. Regular exercise is essential to getting in shape. There's plenty of people that would like to get in shape, but getting and staying motivated is difficult, in part because no particular exercise session is going to have any noticeable effect. And so you want to sort of put off the painful stuff.
And so you can't develop a pattern that would actually be good for you. Can you distinguish between two behaviors that really puzzle me, though?
Mm-hmm.
First, there's the ignoring the traffic ticket. If you ignore a traffic ticket, the money builds up. It's the dumbest thing to do, but people do it, versus wandering away from the typewriter or the word processor when you have to write a 10,000-word, chapter in a book. Are they different or are they the same?
I think that there's a little, it would seem to me like an analysis would suggest that they're a little bit different. The wandering away from the typewriter, I think, fits very well with the reason I just gave, which is that, just go and get a glass of water, maybe surf the internet for a couple of minutes. All these things are just tiny little distractions, and it seems as though they're not going to make or break your ability to continue on with your large long-term goal. But of course, if they don't end up being the exception but become the rule, you're not going to make any progress. So there, I think, sort of small increments, little decisions put together are the problem. In the case of the parking ticket, it seems like it's more related to another reason that we procrastinate, which is that, like other animals, human beings tend to want to front-load rewards. And so when there's a big future reward that's at stake, but pursuing it involves sacrificing more immediately available available rewards, it's really tempting to put off getting and staying on course. So like in the parking ticket case, it's you're going to have to pay that cost immediately, which will interfere with other rewards that you could get right now. And I think there, that's more dominant than the kind of negligible increments of distraction sort of explanation.
And Mark, this is a comparison that comes up in the book when they talk about some of the global procrastination things, like procrastinating on dealing with the environmental problem, right?
Right.
So how do we stop this? I mean, there are people that I know that actually get things done on time. It seems like they do it without fuss and a lot of agony. What are the best strategies for stopping this?
Well, I mean, I distinguish between more short-term strategies, the coping mechanisms that Krasula mentioned, such as, the typical locking the refrigerator so you don't go at night for late night snacking, or making sure you don't have any chocolate in the house if you're trying to give up chocolate. But I argue that those are just short-term fixes, because you're not always going to be able to take advantage of those things. You're going to find yourself in situations where you will be confronted with whatever your temptation is. And so I've argued that the importance is really in strengthening your will so that you can avoid temptation or keep your schedule on time, even in the face of temptation.
Well, you know, let me ask you, are there people who are just born procrastinators where they're just going to have trouble meeting deadlines no matter what? Or do we all have a tendency to procrastinate about certain things? Like, we're really good at paying the bills on time, but we procrastinate in, sending out Christmas cards.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, the psychiatrist George Ainsley explains in our book, he considers procrastination to be the basic impulse. What Krasula mentioned about that, we front-load our pleasures. So we're more concerned with gaining pleasure or avoiding pain in the short term, and not so much focused on the long run benefits or costs of that. And certainly with some things, different people experience or value that short term pleasure more. So if, say, you never procrastinate with respect to work, maybe you can see the long term benefits of work easier. But if you do procrastinate with, say, exercising, maybe that's because you feel the short-term pain of exercising more heavily.
So a live radio show totally twists your mind. You want to sleep, but you can't. You got
to
go in.
You have
do the
to.
Show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that alarm goes off at 3:30. As we were saying, the snooze button was designed for procrastinators.
You can't reward yourself.
Yeah.
You can't avoid the pain.
Mark White and Krasula Andreu, they're co-editors of the new book, The Thief of Time. Krasula Andreu is at the University of Utah, and Mark White is at the College of Staten Island. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm glad you made it on time.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.